Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday morning podcast. I'm Andy Eubank, and the podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com for more, and stop by your local branch. CJ Miller checking in with the news today, including a Hoosier farmer in another national role and getting set for tar spot in 2024. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin here too, and he says morning moisture will move out this afternoon. Some colder air comes in this weekend. And yesterday, the markets were mostly lower. Mike Silver is here with Market Analysis. It's the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Do you have an interest in taking your hay or livestock operation to the next level but need some help doing it? Then head out to the Hay and Livestock Expo hosted by Reynolds Farm Equipment, March 15th from 8 to 3 at the Boone County Fairgrounds. Join them for free lunch and hear from speakers, visit over 15 vendor booths, win door prizes, and more. Pre-register for a chance to win a roll of net wrap and hay knife. To register or for more information, visit events.reynoldsfarmequipment.com/hay-livestock-expo-24.
An Indiana farmer appointed to the board of the U.S. Soybean Export Council and tackling tar spot this growing season. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, Decatur County farmer Mike Caney is a very busy man. Not only does he farm near Greensburg, but he was also just appointed to the board of directors of the U.S. Soybean Export Council, or USEC for short.
Really looking forward to promoting U.S. soybeans across the world, and hopefully we can make a difference for here in Indiana and across the whole U.S.
And that's Caney, who was named to USEC's board during Commodity Classic in Houston just a few weeks ago. He also serves on the boards for the American Soybean Association, the Soy Transportation Coalition, and the Indiana Soybean Alliance. His new role with USEC will be to help grow the value of U.S. soybeans by growing relationships with trade partners outside the U.S.
USEC is pretty much our boots on the ground in all these countries. We have people stationed around the world to promote and to assist any buyers that are buying U.S. soybeans, answer questions to promote our soybeans. So being on the board, I get to hear their needs, what they need to do. So hopefully I can bring some of that back to Indiana.
Although the top five markets for U.S. soybeans are China, Mexico, the EU, Japan, and the Philippines, Caney says that USEC is looking for new opportunities for soybean exports.
They're looking at Africa, Indonesia, India. Those are probably some of the bigger ones. I mean, Vietnam's always there, South Korea. Always big markets for U.S. soybeans. But if we can get our foot in the door with Africa, India, and Indonesia, seem like they're hungry for cheap protein source. And that's what soybeans can provide.
He adds that the Asian markets are pushing U.S. growers to produce and export more food-grade soybeans.
They're hungry for them over there. When I was over there, that's what they talked about. They want food-grade soybeans. They want to feed their people, and we can do that here. And when it comes right down to it, food security and safety starts on the farm, and we're where it all starts, and we can promote that and give them a good finished product from right here in the USA.
You can hear more of my conversation with Indiana soybean producer and USEC board member Mike Caney at HoosierAgToday.com. So how likely is it that tar spot will rear its ugly head and impact corn yields here in 2024? Andy Eubank has some details.
Since first coming on the scene in 2015, tar spot has continued to spread. It is now in more than 19 states, and the disease still spread in cornfields, even during a very hot and dry 2023 season, according to BASF's Kim Tudor.
It bled over into Nebraska and some other surrounding states. It's as far south as Georgia and Florida. And so what I think it's important to keep in mind, when you think back to the disease triangle, you need three things for disease. You need the host. All right, we got lots of corn and soybeans, right? And tar spot, we got a lot of corn. You need the pathogen. Well, we know it's there because it overwinters in stubble, but the other reason tar spot's problematic is it can blow in. So you can see infection not just from the bottom of the plant up from that overwintering of that pathogen, but you can also see it infect from the top of the plant down.
Thirdly, environmental conditions need to be present for that disease outbreak.
So in 2023, two of those three conditions were already met in the Midwest. And as soon as those certain pockets and certain geographies started getting rain, boom, we had disease. So I would say the potential is always there. It's a matter of how those environmental conditions, it just takes a little bit of change in those weather patterns. All you need is several hours of leaf wetness at night for that disease to take off.
Because of a very long latent period for tar spot in corn, BASF recommends including a fungicide in your plans this year versus waiting to see if the disease shows up.
With tar spot, it's upwards of 14 to 20 days. So that's almost 3 weeks that that disease is inside that plant, depositing toxins and robbing it of its photosynthetic abilities. And that's why if you take that wait and see approach, you're trying to really, I don't know if I want to use one or not, you can't, because by the time you've seen those lesions, oftentimes it's too late. You've already lost your yield potential.
Tudor recommends BASF's Veltima to control tar spot in corn.
Veltima has proven itself year over year in 8 out of 10 trials against the competition. It beats it. Compared to the untreated acre, 9 out of 10 trials, it beats it. We have over 1,000 field scale grower demonstration trials on revxfields.com. Growers can go and visit and see how that product performs in their backyard.
Hear more about fungicide plant health benefits in the full interview with Kim Tudor at our website. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm CJ Miller. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farm Credit Mid-America believes that your crop insurance should be maximized to address what's important to you. With their data-optimized decision tool, you can build a policy custom-fit to your operation's goals. Using your past production data, their tool, which they have exclusive access to in their territory, maps out future events, helping you choose the perfect policy type, coverage level, and options for you, all guided by their crop insurance agents. To learn more, visit fcma.com/crop-insurance. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity provider.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
It's Memorial Day weekend. Going to be 87 to 89, maybe low 90s all weekend. So we thought we'd bring Scott Heine in. So we'll talk about home heat.
To agriculture.
Anytime we can help a farmer grow their business and meet their goals, that's a proud moment for me.
And, well, other things.
For some reason, like and subscribe. We don't know why, but that's important.
We want you to do it on your own, but we're going to tell you.
Listen now on all platforms.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here across the state, we've got moisture still holding on this morning, but it'll be pushing out to the east and south through the day today as our frontal boundary moves away. We should not be quite as intense as what we saw yesterday as well. More hit and miss action here this morning. I do think clouds will try and break for a little bit of sun before the end of the day today. We don't see temperatures fall off big time, but we definitely are cooler than what we were a couple of days ago. We keep temperatures in here in an okay range, above normal for this time of year for sure. As we move through tomorrow, Saturday, I expect clouds and some sunshine, but then we've got a cold air blast that wants to come in for Sunday, and that cold air holds through Monday and Tuesday of next week. I'm looking for temperatures to be below normal, and after being in the mid-70s of just back on Wednesday, we're going to be talking at highs no better than the mid to low 30s for Monday or Tuesday. So yeah, big shock to the system. That cold air wants to hold through Wednesday morning, but I think we see some moderation late Wednesday afternoon. That leads to another frontal boundary that tries to come in here for the second part of the week. I'm looking at moisture right now, having the best chance of developing Thursday evening through early Friday. Right now looking at a quarter to three quarters of an inch out of that frontal boundary. Another one building to our west for the weekend of the 23rd and 24th, but it doesn't immediately want to come right in for Saturday the 23rd or even early the 24th. Could be a late next weekend into the following week kind of setup. That's the way your forecast is stacking up this morning. Have a great rest of your day. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
What's in a name? Trust, for one thing. You trust the name of the seed you plant and the tractor you drive. Since 2006, Indiana farmers have been trusting the name Hoosier Ag Today to give them the timely, relevant, and credible information they need. And every day they trust this local radio station to keep them informed and entertained. So when someone asks you the name you trust, remember Hoosier Ag Today and this station.
A sell-off in the grains and oil seeds. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. A good part of the day, beans up, but finishing just below even on the nearby contracts. We'll have settlements coming up. First, market analysis. I grabbed that at the end of trade from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Mike, we have mostly lower Thursday markets to talk about. Corn, an interesting story after some positive gains here in recent sessions. That all turned around on Thursday, but let's begin with beans. A short covering rally, it appeared early, which faded and faded into red by the end of trade. Thoughts on that market right now?
Well, the uncertainties in South America as to what their production is going to be obviously is in play somewhat. But I think the bean market today is probably being affected by the wheat market, believe it or not. Wheat is down double digit today. Chinese cancellations of wheat. They canceled U.S. wheat over the course of the last couple of weeks. There was a news wire this morning that they'd canceled some Australian wheat, and it just kind of has the market scratching its head just a little bit about what's going on with these Chinese cancellations of wheat. And I think it's spilling over a little bit, not only into the soybean market, to a lesser extent the soybean market today, but also into the corn market. You know, we had the export sales report this morning, and actually the corn export sales at 1.283 million metric tons was at the upper end of expectations. That was a better number than we had last week. The soybean exports came in at 376,000. That was down from last week's number. It, for this time of year, and knowing the influence of the South American crop right now on the market, it was not quite mid-range of expectations, but I'll call it okay. I'll just call it okay. Soybean export sales for the last week, okay. That corn sales number that I talked about just a second ago at 1.283 was actually a pretty good number. The wheat number in the export sales came in at 83.8 thousand metric tons. That's down from last week's 271, but the market had actually expected the average trade guess was anywhere from 200 to 550,000 tons of cancellation. So really that wheat number in the weekly export sales was a little better than expected. Now, if I look at the export pace, we're basically even with the pace we need for corn to meet the USDA's export targets right now. Soybeans were still lagging about 3% on the pace needed to meet those export sales numbers. The current week, if I look at the current week in corn, 50.5 million bushels. This last week, the 10-week average is 38.6. So actually, our corn export sales this last week exceeded the 10-week average. The soybeans came in at 13.8 million bushel this last week, and the 10-week average 11.6. So a little better than the 10-week average, but still we're 3% behind the pace needed to meet the USDA export projections. The market at this time of the year, Andy, in this period between ahead of the major reports that we have coming out 2 weeks from today, which is the planting intentions report and a quarterly grain stocks report. We're just kind of in from a fundamental supply and demand standpoint, just kind of in a scratch your head try to figure out what's going on, what are our planning intention numbers going to be. We've seen some private analyst estimates this week. They take some deference with what USDA said in the Outlook conference in February. We'll just have to wait and see. We do know this for a fact, though, that, you know, today's the 14th of March. Tomorrow's the 15th. We know that farmers have to make some final crop insurance decisions by the end of the day tomorrow. They also have to get squared up on whether they're going to participate in the PLC or the Arc County program at the FSA office. So there's a couple of deadlines. Most folks, I think, have got those decisions cleaned up. From a technical standpoint, we did cross the 20-day moving average in corn and soybeans, which gave us a little bit of a catalyst for producers to go ahead and make some sales. Although, still, farmers have a lot of old crop, the crop that we harvested this last fall, to sell. We have folks with grain in the bins on the farm yet, and we've encouraged folks to get those bins cored, take a look at the quality of that grain. And for the most part, folks have been doing that. But I'm going to say that based on the comments that we had around our Indiana elevator locations this morning in our biweekly twice a week conference call on Tuesdays and Thursdays, that farmers right now are just selling enough grain to meet cash flow needs, to pay bills and to meet cash flow needs. They still feel that this market has some life left in it. And certainly I can't refute that, although from a fundamental standpoint, we aren't seeing these crops get any smaller from the ones we harvested. So we know that the funds, the commodity funds, managed money has started to cover some of their short positions. The question remains, how much more are they going to cover, and what impetus will that give to the futures market to work its way higher? And for the next couple of weeks, we're just going to kind of play the same game that we've been playing, Andy, here, and try to evaluate, you know, what kind of potential is in this market to finish up and to accelerate our harvested sales, the crop that we harvested last fall, and certainly our new crop sales for the crop we're going to put in the ground here within the next month or sooner. Our forward book of new crop sales, not only in our company but certainly across the industry right now, is not very great. Let me put it that way. So, is there going to be opportunity? I think so. Are we going to get to the levels that we've been accustomed to the last several years? That remains the big question, and my thought is probably not. But what we don't want to let happen is to get caught in a mindset here that we're not going to have opportunity, number one, because I think we will, but we're going to have to be quick on the trigger finger and make sure that we're in a position to have some open orders in the marketplace for both the old crop and the new crop, and to get some open offers in the market, because the market, as we know, it's a global market, and not only United States, but other grain producing countries in the world are facing a similar situation as U.S. farmers. So, yes, I think there's going to be opportunity, but we're going to have to avail ourselves of the opportunities that present themselves, Andy.
Mike Silver, Kokomo Grain, and Mike's number is 800-666-0613. Now, the Thursday settlements May corn 7.5 cents lower, dipping to 4.33 3/4. July down 7.25, 4.46 1/4. Very even in the soybean futures by the end of trade. May down a penny and a half, 11.95 and a quarter. July 12.09 and three quarters, down a half cent. November up a penny, 11.87. May wheat 5.32 and a quarter, the weak side leader, down 12 cents. April live cattle 186.95, down 2.97. April lean hogs 85.02, picking up 15 cents. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Timely, relevant, credible.